Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 31, our hosts Mitch Glenn and Brad Wiegman interview Garmin pro staffer and electronic expert Todd Driscoll. Driscoll goes in depth over Garmin LiveScope Down and LiveScope Forward, LiveScope Perspective Mode, and Panoptics. Tackle Time features Pika Lures oversized crappie jig head designed for anglers for LiveScope fishing.
And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wiegman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil System. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Hello, welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Man, we have a great guest today. First, I have to tell you, my co-host Mitch, where is he? Well, I hear he's at home painting and making lures, so you fishing fanatics will have more so you don't run out. But so he left me on my own. I went down to Texas and hooked up with my good buddy Brian Branham. And Brian was nice enough to hook me up with Todd Driscoll, who I have, I guess, crossed paths a couple times. And so, but this may be the first time in person. I can't remember for sure or not. We might have met maybe at a Bassmaster Classic or something like that. But Todd works with Garmin, and he's going to give us some insight. So tell us a little bit about what your position is and what you're doing for Garmin, and then we'll get into, you know, more like unit-related information.
Sure, Brad. I've been working in the fishing industry for, time gets away from me, at least 15 years. And I was with another electronics manufacturer for 12 or 13 years. And I guess it was about 5 years ago I moved over to Garmin International. That was about the same time, of course, when Garmin got super interested in the inland market. Garmin, for a good many years, they've had a fair amount of the market share in some of the coastal and offshore boats and in that segment of the market. But 5 or 6 years ago, Garmin decided to take another shot at the inland market. And listeners, some of you may remember, they took a small dab at that market maybe 10 or 12 years ago and just wasn't real successful, and that seemed to kind of leave a bad taste in their mouth at that point in time. But again, about 5 years ago, they got real serious about it. I became involved with Garmin. One of the main things I do for Garmin is a lot of customer support online on a lot of the bass fishing forums, Bass Boat Central, Texas Fishing Forum, The Whole Truth, forums like that, where I provide a lot of technical support and just good old-fashioned customer support on those forums for Garmin.
Uh-huh. So what everyone wants to know is, tell us about the perspective. But before we do that, start us with a little history of how these units of LiveScope have developed over, because were you in there when it first started that the LiveScope and going to that, to the steps of that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, failed to mention, that's another thing that I do for Garmin. I'm a beta tester. Uh-huh. There's maybe 10 or 12 of us that, it's a real, real fun deal. We get to test all the product and, before it goes to market. And, of course, we tested the first generation of Panoptics for at least 6 months. I lose track of, let's see, that was the PS31, I believe. That's been, what, 3 or 4 years ago. Since then, we've went through 2 or 3 other modifications to what's now called LiveScope. All of it's under the PanOptics umbrella.
Right.
But all of it's been awesome technology. I was really surprised that it took until the LiveScope generation for it to really just catch on with a lot of the market, because the first 2 or 3 generations of the product were really, really good as well. Uh-huh. They really were. But LiveScope finally got us to the point where we essentially have the down view, the down scanning type quality with our forward functioning PanOptics. That kind of molded both of those, kind of the scanning technologies all the other anglers are, all you anglers are familiar with, that level of detail to the forward live sonar that we now call LiveScope.
Yeah, so what they've done is they've taken live scanning and made it so that you're looking at real-time images as they're moving in the water, and that separates it from traditional down scan or, say, side scan, where that image has to be produced by moving your boat. In this case, you don't have to move your boat. You actually can be sitting and still and see that live sonar that's working. So, and it's not a sweep technology. It's used by an array of elements that go out and create that echo, and that echo comes back, and that's how they see it. And in plain words, that means you get to see the fish come eat your bait. And crappie anglers, I think crappie anglers are actually more serious about buying and getting them than bass anglers are.
Oh, I totally agree with you. If there was a single market, if you will, it would be crappie fishing that's ideally suited for that technology, because you can literally target individual fish, flip your jig out 10, 20 feet in front of the boat or straight below the trolling motor, watch every movement you make with that jig, and watch how those individual fish respond to your jig. I mean, it's just that incredible. And on top of that, you know, crappie fishing, so many times the crappie tend to want to suspend around the brush rather than really dig up into it, into the thickest parts of it. So it's very easy to see. I mean, if there's a school of 30 or 40 crappie suspended on top of a brush pile, you can literally count the crappie.
Right.
It's just awesome technology for crappie anglers, of course, bass guys as well. You know, so many people wouldn't get caught up in just the looking for individual fish deal, but for us bass anglers, it's probably equally as effective looking at cover, you know, since particularly largemouth bass, they're so oriented to cover. Oftentimes, those individual fish will be close enough to that cover, you're not going to be able to see them, but I can still see those 8 or 9 stumps that are 40 or 50 feet out in front of me. I can see that one lay down log. I can see that hydrilla grass line as it makes a jut out in a point 40 feet in front of me.
Right.
So that's really, I think, as crucial to us bass guys, not only, you know, being able to see fish, but maybe more importantly, be able to see the cover that those fish are wanting to get into.
Right. So now the anglers actually have an option of actually looking at perspective and having now, I hate to say traditional live scope, because that makes it sound old technology, but it's not. It's very hot right now. Tell us what the difference is between that, in case they haven't seen it on the water.
Yeah, it's they really feed off each other pretty well. The traditional forward view of live scope, you see the entire water column, which is very beneficial to see suspended fish, to see how tall a brush pile is, things of that nature. So if you're out in probably, let's say, 10 feet of water and deeper, that traditional forward view where you see the water column is probably going to be your best bet. Perspective essentially rotates the view to where you're looking down from the water surface to the bottom. So you begin to see more of the 3D effect of rock piles, stumps, grass lines, but the give and take with that, the downside, if there is one, with that technology, with the perspective view, is you lose a water column. So I think it's probably most beneficial perspective mode for shallow water applications, say water 10 feet and less. It just gives you a wider view rather than looking at a single slice of the water column in front and having to rotate that trolling motor to see what you want to see. The perspective view gives you that 135 degree beam angle all at one time to see more of the bottom cover.
And to get the perspective, you actually have to have a different bracket on your unit. How do you change one view to the other view?
Yeah, it's all in one package. If you buy a LiveScope system, the transducer, the software has everything included for it to run both forward, down, and perspective. There is an additional bracket that you have to buy. The transducer automatically senses whether you want to be in forward, down, or perspective mode simply with a rotation of the transducer.
And that that bracket's fairly inexpensive.
Yeah, I think it's under $100.
I think that's what I saw.
Yeah, that's all you have to have is that extra bracket.
So you have you take these calls. What is probably the top three questions you get when you're helping someone with their Garmin unit?
The first one tends to involve wiring and power supply, believe it or not. And it's not necessarily a direct question you get. It's just a problem in the symptoms and having to solve that. The all these latest and greatest 10 and 12-inch graphs, and particularly the LiveScope systems, are pretty power hungry. Relative to some of the older technology. So it's very important that anglers have good, clean power supply to the LiveScope system. So a lot of what I do online is advising people on how to best wire those boats. A lot of your older boats, and most newer boats are pretty good these days from the factory, but your older boats have smaller, maybe 12, 14, 16-gauge wire.
Right.
And that's just not really good enough.
Right.
You really need 8 and 10-gauge wire. Clean power directly from the battery to that LiveScope system, or you'll see some just strange and somewhat unpredictable problems if the units aren't getting enough volt and amperage.
Right, and so the unit to get the LiveScope, they have a modular, so a separate power source that it goes into before it actually goes into your unit.
Yes, the LiveScope system, of course, it includes a transducer, but a separate sonar and processing box that has to have its own power source.
Right,
yes.
So that's part of that draw is it's using, it's not supplying just your unit, it's also supplying the modular that comes along with it.
Yeah, I mean, even these 10 and 12-inch graphs, they draw a little bit more power than some of your older, smaller graphs, so... That compounds a problem if people are trying to splice into the same power wires. With LiveScope, you really want a separate power feed for it exclusively.
Yeah.
And the way to do that typically is to run, let's say, 8-gauge wire from the battery to a little bus bar.
Okay.
And then you can run 10-gauge power from the bus bar to your MFD, your head unit, in the LiveScope box separately.
Multifunction device.
Yeah,
drop those acronyms like that, I have to explain it to the normal guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So multifunction device.
Yes, that's correct. But what's another question that you see or problem that people have when they get one? And I think some of the people are kind of overwhelmed by what they see. They're trying to maybe extend a unit farther, the vision of what they're trying to see on them.
Oh, you hit it on the head. My answer was going to be, let's just stay on the topic of LiveScope, since that's the latest craze. It's LiveScope settings. And people it's just human nature, I think, to know that this is the latest and greatest cutting edge of sonar technology. So, man, it's got kind of, maybe it's a little bit hard to run or get set up, but that's one of the amazing things about LiveScope. I run default settings almost across the board. The only thing that I will change, I like to run range, and depth in manual mode.
Okay.
But gain is in auto. All the other settings that are in there, time-varying gain, color gain, noise rejection, they're just all on auto settings. I mean, our engineers have done a fabulous job of dialing that box in, if you will, to where I believe the default settings, with the exception of the manual range and depth, are the way you need to run it. And I see people get into trouble because they mistakenly make the assumption that, man, I got to play with this thing to get the best out of it.
Right.
There may be specific applications.
Right.
The advanced users may get a little bit more out of it running manual settings, but for most of us, it's just ready to run right out of the box. It really is.
Yeah, they've done engineers all the way across on all the electronics. They sit there and they figure out what's the best for most situations. And there's probably situations that old road beds on Beaver Lake where if you increase your gain, it kind of pops out a little bit. But once you go too far, it's like going too far, then you've bleached it out.
Yeah.
And so most of these settings are good. So how do you know where to set your manual? Are you the guy who sets it 2 feet? You set your depth 2 feet lower than what the depth of the water is? What's your rule of thumb?
Yeah, you couldn't have said it any better. You know, it's all about getting the maximum let's say resolution off of that screen, right? So if you're in 20 feet of water and you're running, I mean, auto depth works pretty good.
Right.
But the downside of it is it may not adjust quite as well as you want it to. Like if you're in 20 feet of water, it may be running auto depth in 28 or 30 feet.
Right.
And you're losing some screen space, right? So with the latest software, which that's a, another thing Garmin does a tremendous job of is listening to their consumers.
Uh-huh.
They're always making tweaks to the software. One of the most recent changes to LiveScope related software, at least on the MFDs, it added a third quick key to the screen.
Uh-huh.
So now we have a shortcut on the LiveScope return screen with forward range and depth range. So they're so easy to run in manual mode because right now it's just a push of a plus and a minus to adjust those incrementally feet by feet. You don't have to dig into the menus. So with all that said, it's very easy to do. So, yeah, manual depth, you just want to see the bottom. That's all you want to do, and you just want to barely see the bottom. That way you're maximizing all that water column, all that important information you want to see. Anything you're seeing from the bottom and below is really not that beneficial with – forward range, that tends to be objective-based, right? If you're a crappie fisherman fishing a brush pile that's literally right below the trolling motor or maybe 5 or 10 feet in front of the trolling motor, if you dial that range back to, say, 20 or 30 feet, that's really going to help you. A big mistake people make is maybe leaving that range at 60, 70, 80 feet.
Uh-huh.
So if the brush pile is literally 20 feet from the boat, and you've got your range set at 60, that's 40 feet of wasted space.
Right.
As you crank that range down, another thing you're going to gain is size differential of fish. It's just, you know, a matter of pixels at that point. You increase that range some, it's much easier to see the difference between a 10-inch bass versus a 16-inch bass. On the flip side, we kind of talked about the application of a close range for fishing. For a crappie fisherman, or even us bass guys, if we're vertically spooning or drop shotting, having that range at 20 or 30 feet, man, that's what you want to do. But let's say you're catching a few fish, you see the school of fish on LiveScope, and those fish move. That's where you want to pop that range out to, say, 60 or 80 and scan to try to see where those fish moved. Or let's say I'm here at Sam Rayburn in January and February, and I'm fishing hydrilla with a rattle trap. I'll typically, and in that case, seeing the fish isn't really what I'm wanting to do. It's the ability to see the grass lines and how those grass lines vary to see, you know, jut outs and points of that grass line. I'll bump it out to 70 or 80 feet in those cases. Because really a nice, easy cast for most anglers, you're talking 50 to 70 feet. So if you have that range about that far, you're seeing about as far as you can make a nice casual cast and able to see all that grass all the way out there in front of you. So it's objective-based, your forward range. You want to be able to do both, a close and a far out range.
Right. So we happen to be sitting in your Phoenix boat, and we see your Garmin electronics on it. How much slower? How many miles an hour do you think you're going slower with all these units on? Do these act like a parachute? They help you slow up or something?
Well, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, you know, it's getting to be where a standard installation for people is 3 and 4 units now.
Right.
And it's just, you know, the advancements in not only side and in down scanning, which that's why a lot of people put 2 units at the consoles to maximize your side and your down scanning. But then at the front, of course, to get the most out of that live scope, you really need a dedicated screen for it.
Right.
All of our MFDs will accommodate split screens with live scope, but it's functional. But do you get as much out of it in split screen? No, you really need a dedicated unit. You really do.
Right, and that's what you see a lot. Like when I go with the crappie pros, I see the guys that have just the dedicated units that are doing that. And you can see how much better it is when you have that full screen for something like that. And so for a long time, I always told people that everything you saw on sonar was history. So you could use your A-scope and just a very small window of, say, chirp sonar, and you could use the rest of it for maybe for the looking down, like down vision or side vision or whatever electronics you have, to use that and get a bigger screen on that. So one more tip on using a Garmin, if you could tell someone what to do if they were sitting behind the steering wheel of their boat to catch a fish, what should they do with their Garmin unit to help them catch fish?
Well, the other thing I would say is it gets back to the range functions with side view. Mm-hmm. Now, side view is such a useful technology, but it's one that I see where people want to maybe try to get too much efficiency out of it and move that side scan range too far out. When you do that, you just lose a lot of resolution, especially the people wanting to see fish on side view.
Uh-huh.
They move that range too far out. It's all objective based. Whether you're talking about live scope or side scan, it's all about what you're wanting to look at. If you're wanting to look for rock ridges or brush piles, you can pop that side view range out to 80, 100 feet and still accomplish what you want to do. But if you're wanting to see fish, most oftentimes you got to knock that range down to 40 or 50 feet to see what you want to see.
Right. All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. You've answered a lot of questions, gave people a lot of information. They may have to listen to this show 2-3 times to go back and pick it up. If they wanted to find out more about Garmin units, where would they go?
They can go to Garmin.com. Or you can hop onto a couple of fishing forums I spend a whole lot of time on. You can send me a PM on those forums. That's Bass Boat Central or Texas Fishing Forum or The Whole Truth.
There you have it. Thanks for being on the show, Todd.
Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass jig heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, welcome to Tackle Time. What a great show about live scoping and panoptics. Today's your lucky day, folks. We're going to introduce from Pico a new jig head this fall called the Live Eye Jig Head. You're going to have the initial opportunity from this show to pre-order these off the Pico Lures .com website. These will be introduced. These are made for your live sights and live scopes. They're a very reflective jig head, easier to see. Good size sickle hooks on these in black nickel. They'll hold any size fish you want to catch, and they will be introduced at the Crappie Expo this fall in Branson, Missouri. You get the opportunity to pre-order these off the PicoLures.com website and have your order in before they're introduced to the public.
Wow. Those are pretty exciting. That's all I got to say. Those crappie anglers are going to want that.
Hey, this, as the industry revolutionizes, we all have to adapt and meet the need, and these right here meet the need.
Hey, there you go. Thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. Please subscribe, rate our show, you know.
Hey, tell us what you want to hear about.
There you go. For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.